Can you imagine the level of a mind that watches wrestling?
The audience wants to see action, adventure, wrestling, and plenty of it.
Big men in tights, you know the drill.
Rammer Slammer.
Welcome to Rammer Slammer. I'm Ben Flanagan, and we've got a special episode this time with an interview featuring Drew McIntyre, who recently returned to WWE back in the spring. He redebuted, as Dolph Ziggler's enforcer and partner, and now they're the tag team champions, and they've been joined by Braun Strowman, and they're taking on the Shield, and McIntyre is back at sort of the top of the card in the main event picture in WWE on the Raw brand. And he and WWE and the Raw brand are going to be performing in Birmingham tonight at Legacy Arena. It's going to be a house show, untelevised, and those are always a ton of fun. And we had the opportunity to talk to McIntyre on the phone, and we had a really good conversation. The guy is really thoughtful, and since he left WWE in 2014, he's been on this incredible journey performing at different companies throughout the world, helping them get started and just getting his feet wet in various territories, as it were. Now he's back. He came to NXT and had a really great run at the top of the card there as NXT champion and had some great matches. And now he's back where he belongs in WWE. And the guy is really impressive. He looks incredible. He's really good in the ring. Just a really imposing bruiser type foe, probably for Roman Reigns moving forward. We'll see where this goes, but it was just a really great conversation. Good talking to him. He's obviously a historian of the business. He got an early start in pro wrestling, training in his teenage years before he made his way to the mountaintop in WWE. So check out this conversation with Drew McIntyre. Hope you enjoy it.
Drew, how's it going, man?
It's going good, Ben. How are you? Sorry for the background noise. I'm just in the car with a bit of rain in Tampa here.
No worries, man. It's great to talk to you, and congrats on the tag titles.
Oh, thank you very much. Very much appreciated. An exciting time for us and Raw in general.
Absolutely. And I'm curious, have there been any pro wrestlers who have had multiple chapters with WWE or wherever, whose careers and stories that you've drawn from at all, or that you've drawn from heading into NXT or WWE during this latest run?
Maybe not during this latest run, certainly earlier in my career. I was a big fan of Bret Hart growing up, and Shawn Michaels, The Undertaker, Triple H. I've probably drawn from a lot of them when I was younger, but when I left the company, it was more finding who I was and applying what I'd learned to discover, who the real Drew McIntyre, Drew Galloway really was. And that was a big thing for me when I left the company, was just finding out who I truly was, finding if I could be that top-level main event performer that I believed I could be, and thankfully I was able to put all the pieces together and be the first ever Drew McIntyre rather than a other version of somebody else.
Right. And so I'm curious, what feels different this time? What's changed about the culture in terms of management or the roster? Are things mostly the same, or have you noticed a substantial difference in the way things work at WWE?
Things have changed in a lot of ways, sir, and it's the guys who have come up through the system, mostly NXT, that are leading the force now. That's a big difference. Obviously, the company keeps going from strength to strength with the market price, etc. So that everything keeps growing. But I guess the big thing for me is, I've grown as a person, matured, and returned really to make a difference. And what I do notice is backstage that as good a roster as we have the best roster in the world. Monday Night Raw is the number one show in the world with the best performers, men and women. But we do have a few people that perhaps aren't fulfilling their potential. And I know this because that's who I was during my first run with the company. And I can see it when I look around. It reminds me of myself when I didn't realize the opportunity I had, that I was part of WWE, that this was the number one show. And I had to give it my all in the ring, out the ring, in every possible situation, and I wasn't. And I see that now that I'm back, and I'm trying to tell people in interviews like this, I'm trying to give the answers to everybody if you don't take the answers to the question, perhaps it's time for a lot of people to go away like I did and find themselves. And if they don't, perhaps they don't belong in the number one show in the world, because I can assure you those people in NXT waiting to take their spots.
Well, that's really interesting, because you know, you're doing great work with Dolph Ziggler, whose career and story have also seen some really interesting ebbs and flows in recent years. And, you know, what you just said is interesting, because I know that you've used the word complacency to describe your time during your first stint with WWE, but you've seemed anything but complacent these last several years. Like, how do you find that sense of drive and urgency to push yourself to try new things and find what keeps you going, and what keeps you and WWE and fans happy with what you do in the ring?
I mean, the big thing for me is no longer trying to impress people around me. And, you know, the first thing I had to do was look in the mirror. And, you know, my wife's a big part of that. When I left the company and I was really, you know, giving it what I thought was my all, but I was still, you know, hanging out with the guys all the time, perhaps partying a little too much, and I was achieving a lot, like more than I ever thought possible. And I got a little injury one time, and I was home for the first time in my life with the wife, and she told me, you know, look how much you've done, and you're giving 70%. Imagine if you gave 100%. And that's when I eliminated, you know, all negative things out of my life. You know, the partying had to go. I was more focused on my diet, the gym. I just wanted to eliminate all negative areas of my life. I wanted to look in the mirror and be accountable to only one person. And the only person is me, and that's the only thing that drives me, is no longer trying to impress anybody else. The only person I'm in competition with is myself. And the goal is become, you know, the top person on Raw, becoming the example on Raw, become the John Cena, if he's no longer there, the ultimate workhorse of Raw. And just like Cena used to do, you know, he didn't have a second place. Second place was so far and away from him for how much he worked. He was always in competition with himself. And I guess he's somebody I can draw inspiration from, because I am solely in competition with myself. And it's great to have someone like Dolph Ziggler, who's so talented, who has been very start and stop over the years, be a level of focus I've never seen him at, because I know the great things he can do, and we're doing them right now. And now we've added Braun Strowman, who's achieved so much in such a short space of time. And hopefully he can learn from Dolph and I's experience, and the three of us can really take Raw to levels it's never been before.
Well, and your journey back to WWE is pretty amazing. I mean, you wouldn't believe someone worked in that many places in 4 years, and now you're back and doing great at the company. Was it always the goal during that time to make it back to that WWE mountaintop? And I'm curious, what motivated you to do it all over again, or was it just a totally different journey?
I guess initially it was. You know, when I was first gone from WWE, I was on Chris Jericho's podcast, and I said, I will be back. I just have to, you know, go out and just show the world what I can do. And as time went on, and as I got, you know, various opportunities to help various companies grow across the world, I realized that I was really making a difference in sports entertainment and wrestling. And, you know, I personally was growing these companies, like I was making a difference. And WWE, the name, you know, is what sells generally. There's very few particular names like a John Cena or a Rock you can truly, you know, make a difference. And I realized I was making a difference. And as time passed by, and as I was making like a very fortunate living, but I was really so fulfilled, I actually thought, wow, I don't know if I will be back. And I told my wife, I really don't know if I'll be back. This is, you know, I'm really enjoying this. We're doing very well, and I'm just happy. And then eventually, you know, it came a time where you know, my contract was up with, you know, Impact Wrestling, and I had to make a decision. You know, I spoke to the wife, you know, are we going to keep going the route we're on, or perhaps we're going to check out Japan options? And I had an opportunity to speak to Triple H, and it took about 30 minutes of catching up, you know, with Triple H and speaking about, you know, he'd been watching what I was doing and was very proud of what I achieved, which meant the world to me. But more importantly, we started talking about possible business opportunities, which was pretty cool, because the first run, you know, we never had these conversations. I was like a boy. I was very immature. We had general chit-chat fun conversations, but never business conversations. Now we were talking as men, we were talking as businessmen. And by the time we were finishing the call, I knew NXT was where I had to be. It was the next logical step from where I was. The companies that I'd helped grow and had reached a level where they were going to keep growing with or without me. And I really felt like I could make a difference to NXT, and I felt like that's the next logical step to introduce the WWE Universe to the new Drew McIntyre before I made the next step to Monday Night Raw.
And you have a house show in Alabama this week, and How do you typically like to use house shows to work on either your skill set or your character in terms of performance? What kind of freedom do house shows give you as opposed to the televised performances?
I mean, like the house show or the live events, they are a little, you know, less, that's the word I'm going to use, they're more interactive for the fans, let's say, because obviously TV, you have the TV cameras there, you have a lot going on, you have commercial breaks where the fans can kind of tell there's a little, you know, down moment, and then obviously we have to set up the segments for the people at home because there's millions of people watching at home. When you have one of the live events, it's non-stop. There's no cameras there. We're playing to the audience. You get to have fun with the audience. The crowd gets to get involved a little more, and it's a very intimate feel. So that's the great thing about the live events is the fans are, you know, they're part of the show at TV, but you're truly, truly part of the show at the live events because we can interact with you and not worry about the playing to the people at home and playing to the TV cameras. And, you know, it's, as you say, a great opportunity to try new things, which means sometimes having a bit of fun in the ring that maybe someone as serious as Drew McIntyre might not do on television right now. You might catch me doing a little dance on a live event. But also, when it comes to a live event, when I talk about the complacency factor, you know, that's something else I watch. You know, I've got like a, you know, an eagle eye when I'm watching my fellow talent when it comes to the live events, because I believe in grassroots. I believe putting 100% in every single time, whether the camera's on or the camera's not on. And I watch around to see if anybody's perhaps not giving it 100% on those live events. And from what I've seen, honestly, the vast majority are putting in 100% no matter what. And I don't know if it's because I've been calling people out, but from beginning to end, like in a Raw live event, you're guaranteed an incredible show with a little bit of something for everybody, for all ages and the whole family. And I'm very proud of that right now. But again, I'm watching everybody. So if somebody starts trying to phone in a performance and not giving 100%, you can be assured that I'll be calling you out, the one to kick you in the arse on the way out the door.
Well, and you've wrestled in the U.S. for so many years now, including in the American South, like you will in Alabama on Friday. Does anything about performing in places like Alabama and Mississippi and Florida and other southern states, does anything stick out to you? And have you noticed any similarities between that area and maybe Scotland and Europe?
I mean, like Scotland and Europe has been growing incredibly over the past few years. I was part of the growth. You know, when I first came back a few years ago, we had 1,500 at the biggest show of the year. We grew it to 2,000, then to 4,000, then to over 7,000 for the largest independent show at that time. So the growth has been incredible over there. And when it comes to the, you know, the southern states, like this weekend, I used to actually live in Louisiana for a year. So I actually spent about a year living with the people. And the good thing about these areas, you know, Alabama, Mississippi and Louisiana, is, you know, the fans are just there, they're having a good time and they just want to enjoy the show and get involved. They don't overthink things like perhaps a New York or a Philadelphia and maybe sit there writing a little report of the whole show and perhaps trying to come up with like silly chants to entertain themselves. So, like, they, you know, they want to enjoy the show, they want to be part of the show, and they want to just be entertained by what's going on in the ring perhaps and what they're trying to do in the crowd, let's say. They're a fun bunch to perform for, so I'm saying we're looking forward to this weekend.
Awesome. And Drew, my last question for you here. Based on your success as a tag team competitor and as a wrestling fan, who are some of your favorite tag teams in wrestling history? Are there any less obvious people that we wouldn't expect or appreciate or fully appreciate?
For me, like, probably kind of obvious examples of tag teams I was a big fan of, you know, like Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard. Or, you know, a couple of guys that are, like, to this day will like, watch them and just be blown away by just how incredible they are at tag team wrestling. And that was a big Hart Foundation guy when I was a kid. You know, Brett was my favorite wrestler. I loved the dynamic there. And, God, that was a little thing. Because most of it's from my childhood, because I was, like, the biggest tag team wrestling fan as a kid. I was always impressed by the Road Warriors at Legion of Doom. They were just so large and, you know, bigger than life, you know, in every possible way, and just used to destroy everybody. I always imagine, like, myself, Dolph, and Braun get a three-bar drill going. Myself and Braun could be a bit of a modern LOD.
Oh, my God, yes, for sure. Well, Drew McIntyre, thank you so much for the time. Keep up the great work, and I hope you guys have a great show in Alabama this week.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to getting back to Alabama. Last time I was in Birmingham, I actually was having surgery on my biceps. It'll be fun to come back and show everybody my bicep in action, and it's bigger and stronger than ever.
Awesome. Well, it's great to see you back in the ring, man. Good luck to you.
Awesome. Appreciate you. Thank you, buddy.
Rammer Slammer is produced and edited by Ben Flanagan for the Alabama Media Group and AL.com. Find us on iTunes and follow us on Twitter at Rammer Slammer. Thanks for listening.
Hey, hey, it's Conrad Thompson from Something to Wrestle With, Bruce Pritchard, and you're listening to Rammer Slammer right here on AL.com.